Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive, full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even demonic asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts of the intents of the heart. So I ask you, God, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to bring us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend your word so that we can use it for every part of our lives. You said you came to give us life in it more abundantly, and you said that to people that were already alive, so there must be more to it than just being alive. So we come to receive that truth in Jesus' name. Teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into that truth in Jesus' name. We'll be very careful to give you the glory. Now, Satan, I know you like to come to these meetings, but you're canceled. You must leave. You can have no proceedings here. You can't mess with nobody. Come against even your retaliating demons, that after this is done and the blessings start to flow to their lives, I cancel you from even trying to mess up what God blesses them with. This truth will go into good ground, bring forth great fruit in abundance. And by the way, I'd just like to remind you that you are going to the lake of fire. So I will torment you while I pray and let you know that you need to leave God's people alone, or else I'm going to torment you more and let you know I have seen where you're going. You are going to the lake of fire forever. So you get out of here, leave these people alone. This word is going to the good ground. It's going to bring some fruit to their lives. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Go ahead and just give somebody a fist bump, you know, close by. Just give them a fist bump before you sit down. Don't punch nobody now. Some of y'all been looking, you know, practicing karate on each other. We don't need that. You know, last night I was a little bummed out, but I was looking at the scriptures here and go to St. John 14, 16. I wanted to show you something here, but I got a little bummed out because as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, and those of you that are ministers, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you really want to be able to see people's lives change. It's the only reason why you do it. I don't do this for no money. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't do it for glamour or fame or all that baloney. That don't work. That doesn't do anything. I do it because God has called me to, and I'm so thankful that I get to do it again. And that's why I have so much zeal, because God raised me from the dead. And I get to preach it again, and I just sometimes turn to my wife and say, girl, do you know what's going on? Look what's happening, what God is doing. But my heart is for people just to receive, that's all. And so I was sitting there thinking about this scripture where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father or comes to God except through me. There is no plan B. You don't accept this plan? You might as well send your saddle home, and you ain't riding no more. God only has one plan, and that plan has been played out, and we are celebrating it. Yeah. There ain't nobody else on the planet gonna pay for your sins. And the only way you get in front of God, the only way you get in the presence of God is without sin. And the only way we can get rid of that sin is that we got to pay for it. And the only thing that's valuable enough to pay for your sins and my sins? Are you kidding me? The sins of the world? The only thing that's that valuable is the blood of Jesus. Your blood don't work. Mine don't either. So we can sit and be smug. And I don't know why people that ain't got nothing act like they all that in a bag of chips. I just don't understand it. It just don't make no sense. I mean, even if you got a whole bunch of something, you ain't gonna keep it. Ain't no banks up there. We don't need no crypto either. Ain't no cryptocurrency up in heaven. Ain't no exchange. You can't buy no real estate. It's all sold to God. You go there to do something that we're going to do in a couple of moments. Now, this is going to be painful for some of you. But you got to realize this is a celebration. We're happy. And some people don't like to be happy, even in church. They're like, what you all happy about? You sourpuss, you shut up. I'm happy because Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, I'm alive. I can be able to have some life. Because when it comes down to it, you can't get yourself out of a paper bag, buddy. I'm telling you, you can't do nothing. There comes a time when you are laying in that bed by yourself, or them lights are flashing to your house. Four bells, that's what they used to call it. Had four bells with the horses and the firemen and the policemen with their four bells. Ding, 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 going there, old dusty roads. Four bells heading to an emergency. Now they call it priority. But when they come priority to your house, which they did twice at my house, you need to know that God is the only way that you're going to get out of that mess. And it happens so fast. This is not anything to play with. The devil wants you. He wants you now. Jesus told Peter, man, Satan want to sift you like wheat. My mom used to have a sister. My mom, she cooked cake all the time. She cooked cakes all the time. Now my wife loves cake. I mean, I married this woman. Now she loves cakes. Cupcakes, you know, bundt cakes, this cake, dad cake, sock it to me cake, don't sock it to me cake. Seven up cake, upside down cake, pineapple upside down cake, right side up cake. I ain't saying nothing. I'm eating this afternoon. I don't care what y'all say. This is a holiday. It is a holy day to eat some food. And so I'm going to be, as we used to say back in the day, I'm greasing today. I know none of y'all know nothing about that. But we are going to eat big food. Okay? So anyhow, my mom, she had this sifter. And I don't know why, because you could buy flour that's pre-sifted, or you could buy flour that you got to sift. Now, I don't even understand, if you can buy it that is sifted, why are you going to buy the unsifted flour? What's the difference? If they already sifted for you, why go in there and this dust is flying? She said, get out of here, boy. Shut your mouth. My mom was the funniest lady you ever met on the planet. My sister and I was talking about Janice and I was talking about how she would just look at you and say, you look fat again. I just come over to say, hi, Mom. Boy, you're looking fat. What's wrong with you? What you eating? Kathy, what you feeding him? I'm like, I'm going home, man. This ain't even working. She was so, but you couldn't get mad at her because, she, you know, she just loved everybody anyhow. And after a while, she'd just go over there and just grab with her big old arms and just grab you and give me a kiss, boy. Like, Mom, you're squeezing me too hard. But she had a sifter, and she would sift. She sifted that way. I hated her. Don't tell her. I hated her cakes. Well, I didn't hate the cake. I hated what she put on the cake. Every cake had hair on it. Every cake she made had hair. Now, I don't mean hair from your head. She would put coconut on every cake. She wore a wig. She ain't put the wig on the cake, y'all. So, I gotta work with y'all. I'm going over here. I'm sick of these people. They actually thought my mom putting hair on the cake. Pastor Don is thinking. She would make lemon cake, chocolate cake, vanilla cake, red cake, blue cake, every kind of cake. But she'd always finish it with coconut. And I got so sick of that. And Kathy would come over. She knew how to please my mom. She played the game. Ooh, this cake is so good, Miss Sharda. I said, girl, you know your mouth feel like it's full of hair. But she made those cakes. But I remember her sifting that wheat. And then I thought about the scripture when I grew up and started hearing it in the church. That Peter, Satan is trying to sift you like wheat. I say, first of all, stay out the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Wherever he's going, don't. in aviation, flying aircraft, you had a certain flight level, you had a certain altitude. If you're over 18,000 feet, you're at a flight level. If you're below that, you're at an altitude. And they'll say, traffic at 1 o'clock, 7 miles, see and avoid. In other words, you better keep your eyeballs on them because you are now legally required to see that traffic and avoid it. And some of us, God be telling us by the Holy Spirit, 11 o'clock, 5 miles, the devil, see and avoid, and we go right to him. There's some situations you need to avoid. Life ain't this hard. I said life ain't this hard. You got to have some help to make life this hard. Life ain't this hard, man. I'm telling you, brother, I know you're going through, but it ain't. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking right to you. Yes, yeah. And your wife's sitting right next to you. I think that's your wife. I hope it is. But anyhow, you're sitting right there. Now, in fact, stand up. Good-looking brother. Come on, stand up, man. Look at this good-looking brother. So glad. Are you new here? Is this your first time here? You've been here before. Okay, I just don't know you, okay? Maybe I was in brain fog back then. But anyhow, thank God that you're here. He was like, yeah, I got you, man. I know what you're talking about. See, because life ain't that hard. But it can make you feel like it is and make you want to check out. Listen, folks, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to check out. I did. I ain't gonna give you no details, but I wanted to check out. God said, okay, that's it. Man, I've preached enough. I've done it, built the building, did all the stuff, flew the airplane, flew the helicopter, you know, done all this stuff, commercial, can do this, you know, been in television, had my own television program on the ABC affiliate for 5 years, did the top radio station in Seattle. I mean, you know, been married for 30-something, 40-something years. That's enough. That's enough. That's it. That's all you want, God? So I'm ready to check out. Where's the elevator? And God said, you ain't going no elevator. Sit your rump down. And I started staring at the wall. Man, I didn't know I was doing what Hezekiah was doing. I started praying, staring at the wall, while y'all was having church. I did that for 2 years. Because I didn't want to be an embarrassment to God, partially. And the other reason is because I was frustrated when I sat in church because the stuff they put in me, I couldn't understand. It didn't help me to understand the Word of God anymore. Five things I'm going to give to you and let you go and have your Easter dinner. Please say this. Say, let go of it. Turn to somebody and say, let go of it. I mean, put some spit in their face. Be bold. Say, no, I don't want no fist fights up in here. Just quietly and very professionally say, let go of it. Say, let go of it. Say this, it's dead. One thing we know how to do is when something dies, we let it go. I don't care if it's your closest relative. We have to learn how to let it go. Now, they thought Jesus was dead, and the disciples were ready to let him go. But Jesus wasn't dead. He was more alive than they were. And see, some of us back in the 60s, they started telling us that God is dead. They had signs, and all the hippies were running around with these signs. I'm like, God is dead. But God wasn't dead, but those people are dead now. Look at who's alive. God is alive. There are people now that are saying that there's no sense in, and I'm sick of this with black folk. Black folk, you came your rear end from slavery. How in the world you go to a stupid college and all of a sudden you smarter than everybody, including the preacher? Get your rump back in church. Oh, I have Professor so-and-so. He needs to get there too. I know, it's getting quiet up in here. But I know you ain't gonna be back until next year anyhow, so I'm gonna hit you hard. I'm gonna hit you hard with your degree. With your degree, I got mine. Don't worry about it. I got pilot's license, commercial, IFR, I fly in clouds and everything else. Helicopter, you got that one? I got all that stuff, but it don't mean nothing. Doctrine, master's, and, you know, all this stuff, PhD and ABC and MBC too. don't mean a hill of beans once you get up before God. The way I like to say it is, there's one star. I don't care how bright you think you are, you're going to find out there's one star. And that is the morning star, which used to be Lucifer, but Jesus took his place. And he ain't giving it up. So we got to get off our high horse, or Cadillac, or Mercedes, or Rolls. Come on now. We got to get off that degree, because that's not going to take you nowhere. You leave it all here. Only what you do for Christ will last. I ain't just saying on that. That's God. God's saying that. So five things you need. Five things. Five things that today's celebration events proves about God Almighty. Number one is that God is unfailing. He cannot fail. He hasn't failed you. I thought he did. I used to hear people say, God will never leave you or forsake you. But God, say this with me, God is unfailing. Write that down. God is unfailing. Stop thinking that God is going to fail you. He will never fail you. He will never leave you or forsake you. I thought God had forsaken me. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is unfailing. The only, I don't care who you like that you think is it and got all the charisma and all the, you know, all the swag and all this stuff. You're watching the dumb TV and looking at that fake junk where if they didn't take the green screen and put it behind them, you wouldn't even see half the junk because it's not even real. God is not impressed with us. We need to stop acting like he should be impressed with us. We should be giving him glory. Give him glory. God is unfailing. He cannot fail. And he will not fail. He will not fail you. He will not fail me. Well, my cousin died of some disease. Well, were they a Christian? Yeah. Well, they ain't got the disease no more. God didn't fail. God wins. I don't care. God, you can play the game all you want. He wins all the time. Sort of like I am with Monopoly. My kids know it. Don't play Monopoly with me because I'm going to win. Because if I don't win, I just mess up the board. Can't nobody figure out what the bank had. Can't nobody figure out nothing. We got to just start over. We got to start over because I'm not winning. I got to win. Don't be looking at me like that. Got my son-in-law looking at me. Don't be looking at me like that. You know that's going on. And it's gonna happen with Jinka too. God wants you to know he will never fail you. We've had people with cancer in this church. They come to the pastor. So, pastor, I report this cancer, lymphoma. I got 5 weeks to live. That's how we got this scripture. Ephesians 3:20, put it up on the board. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that works in you. That scripture came because there was a woman that had cancer. And had 5 weeks to live, and she had five children and a husband. And she came here. We were in ministry for about 6 months. And she came in this church. Her head was about as big as a basketball. She was swollen up so much from all of the stuff that was being poured into her chest through a hole called a Groshon. They didn't put it in the veins. They just dumped it in her. And she came because one of the ladies that was part of our church was a nurse and was at Madigan out at Joint Base. It was called Fort Lewis at the time. And told her, hey, listen, you come to my church. I believe they can pray for you and you don't have to die. That lady came to the church on a Wednesday night. After the service, myself, my wife, and one of my assistants laid hands on her. I cursed the cancer. It died. Because Jesus is alive. And if Jesus gets in you and he's alive, everything else that's dead has got to go. Now, you got to believe this stuff. Just like this. You can't just, I see the sock. He was in the hospital. And he got nothing to do with it. You got to believe the word. You got to believe what I'm saying. You got to believe what the preacher's preaching. You got to believe the word. You got to be Lord. You can't have evidence for everything. You ain't got enough storage for all the evidence you need for all the stuff you need to be able to have. How are we going to store all that evidence? The evidence is in your faith in the word of God. And if you don't believe the word, I can't help you. People talking about so-and-so left the church. You should go after them because they left the church. You can't leave the church, man. You already been here. You ain't lost. You running. He's the lost sheep. No, he's not. He's got a Google. He know how to get right back here. He's been here 25 times. God ain't far, and life ain't hard. I said, God ain't far, and life ain't hard. Y'all ain't seen hard life. I'm going to get out of here. Do we have security up in here today? Number two, God can be trusted with what is most important to you. What is most important to you? He can be trusted with it. Why? Because he lives. He's victorious. God don't need nothing from you. Do you know that? God doesn't need nothing from you. He's thankworthy. Please write that down. He's thankworthy. For all he has done that has worked in your life, you need just to give him praise and thanks. It's one thing I just started doing. My wife knows, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up in the morning, and if the Lord's putting a song on my heart, I'm going to go right over. I got 3 iPads and 2 computers in my bedroom. It's a little whacked. It is a little whacked. I'll admit. It's a little whacked. But I have a flashlight, too, so I don't wake her up so I can see the keyboards. But she's a little whacked out because I got whacked, man. I'm telling you, you go through hell, you're going to get whacked, too. To hell and back in less than 7 years. That's the name of the book. I ain't playing. I'll start the music on one. I've got scriptures on the other one. And the other one, I'm writing notes and texting some folks. And sometimes I'm sending them music. My son's laughing. Pastor Don's laughing because he's got some of the songs at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I'll go back to sleep and wake up. God talked to me about something. See, and I'm so thankful. I won't sit there and complain and say, God, I'm sleepy. Leave me alone. Like some of us say, do we have to go to church again? We just went last Thursday. Man, it shouldn't be, do we have to? It should be, can I? Do I get an opportunity? It's like paying tithes and giving offerings. Do we have to pass the containers again? I'm going to go to church online, so I don't have to give. You're just stealing from God whether you come or not. And it ain't going to help you. Well, you don't know all I'm doing. Yeah, you're doing a whole lot, but you ain't getting what you should be getting for all you're doing. Because God is the multiplier. Number three, God has been working on your behalf even when you've been working against him. Okay, I got to tell it. Kathy, I got to tell it. Dr. K, I'm going to tell him. Yesterday, we went to South Center, need to buy a few things. She wanted to buy some See's candy, and ain't no See's candy up around here. She likes candy. She wanted some candy for Easter. So we drove to South Center and Tukwila. So we get back and driving and drove into the garage, push the button, open the door. We're in the garage, in the middle garage. We have 3 of them, but anyhow, we're in the middle garage. Spirit of the Lord says, go to church right now. I turned to Kathy and said, we got to go to church right now. She said, you're tired. You look tired. I said, I am tired. I said, but the Lord said, go to church right now. She said, Don, you need to go to sleep. You need to get some rest. You got to preach tomorrow. Blah, 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 blah. I said, I know we've had 5 services this week, and I know we got to say, I'm going to the church because God said go to church right now. We were in the garage. The garage door, I was getting ready to push the button to close the garage door. And so I just put it in reverse, back out, head over here to the church. Come to the church, and here's a guy walking in our parking lot with his dogs. And I felt like Jesus, ready to whip the folks out of the temple, because that ain't what this church is for. It ain't for your dog to poop in. And I get a little perturbed. So I say, hey, take your dog somewhere else, man. And he goes blankety, blankety, blank, and he throws up a finger to me that doesn't look nice. I said, it's back at you, buddy, because I got the anointing on me. But it's multiplied. And he keeps going. Blankety, blank, blankety, blank, blank. I said, well, you're going to have to get on up out of here, because that's not what this property's for. I got a bag, and I collect this stuff. I said, is this why God had me come up here? I said, but it leaves residue. So he got mad, and madder, and madder, and more mad. And so I called 911. I said, we have a trespasser here with his funky dog, thinking that I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to let his dog poop all over our property so our little kids can go out there, my grandkids can go out there and play in the poop. That's the residue, perhaps causing E. coli or other bacteria to come into it. They said, okay, is he still there? No, I said, I ran him off now. He's walking over to the library, which he pays taxes for. And if he wants to have somewhere to poop for his dog, he should take it there, because he pays taxes to get the poop on the grass. He ain't paying no tithes. He ain't giving no offering. He ain't done nothing. But he think he's supposed to walk up on the property, and he had a... You know, one of these things. Man, don't mess with me. Not on the eve of Easter. I'm getting ready to preach some word, and you're going to sit here. Now, it's after 6 o'clock. I'm supposed to be home. My curfew on Saturday night is 6 o'clock. You got to get, especially if you're preaching, you better get them back in there and get that word and get yourself meditating. It's 6:40. I'm saying, you really messing with me, dude. So he goes off. They say, well, what do you want us to do? Because he's left now. I gave him all the description and everything. I said, well, at least do an area check. Okay, a little police term. They do an area check. Okay, we'll do an area check. 2 minutes later, I see two cops flying by here with lights and sirens. Said, they ain't going to do no area check. They are too busy chasing guys with guns and bullets and... I ain't gonna do no area check for no dog. I said, Kathy, let's go home. But I said to myself, am I wrong? Because I want God's house to be clean. I don't want our kids out there. They had just had an Easter egg hunt yesterday. Kids crawling around in the grass. So 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm finished off my studies and settling everything, getting all my clothes ready and clean. Kathy snoring. He's out. I'm fixing all my stuff. And the Lord said, Google dog's feces and find out what it does. Now, I ain't going to tell you what it says. You Google it. But one of the things it did say, you're not even supposed to smell that stuff, because it will get into your lungs and cause you to have issues. Now, I grew up with dogs all my life. I tell you about Tiny all the time. Tiny would put a rock in his mouth and start talking to us. Tell my mom about what happened with us fighting while she was gone. All my brothers and sisters. God is working with you even when you don't work with him. And the Lord brought to my heart this man. He said, I'm still working with him, even though he came against the church. In fact, if you're here, would you stand, please? I invited him. And then he gave me another cuss word and a couple of fingers. I don't know which fingers that time. I didn't see. Number four. God, I want to emphasize number three. God works with you even when you're working against him. Some of you have been against God for a long time, but I'm telling you, God has been working on, he's been taking care of you. You thought it's your luck or your looks. Both of them wrong. If you don't want your looks. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not that. It's God in our lives. I got to wrap this up. Okay, folks. We're just about 2 minutes up, to time out. Number four, I'll go quickly. You are no longer powerless. That's one of the things you need to know. You're no longer powerless. Stop acting like you're powerless. You can't do nothing. Nothing's going to work for me. Oh, come on. When you have Jesus Christ, he has the power. I mean, when he got up, did you see the shroud? It was burnt. That kind of power. Just because he woke up and had new life. So I say that we should no longer feel powerless. Excuse me, because you belong to the Lord. Say, I belong to the Lord. You are a possession of God. See, and because slavery messed up a lot of our thinking, we think that when somebody purchases us, we're in slavery. No, God bought you with his blood. I said, God bought you with his blood. I said, you've been bought with the blood of Jesus. That's what this celebration is all about. You should not act like you're independent. I don't need nobody telling me nothing. Well, that's the worst kind of way to live. You need God helping you. Because quiet as kept, you're getting older, and pretty soon you won't even remember what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? After a while, the faculties start going away. If God ain't involved to keep them things going, you start forgetting. So how are we going to put everything on us and think we're going to have it all together? You may have it together now with your IQ the way it is, but you keep living. You're going to need some help. Might as well get it now. Just saying. Fifth and final thing, and we get to go home and eat our dinner. Thanksgiving should be an attitude of this day. This is what should be happening with this event that's happening today. We should be so thankful. And you know, it really bugs me when people are not thankful. I give to people and sometimes like, you know, they don't even say nothing. I said, don't you know, I didn't have to give you nothing. And I'm not giving it to you to get you to give me some gratitude, but that should be just a natural thing. If God has blessed us, we should be giving some gratitude to God. I know this is boring. Don't worry. You won't have to come back until next year. No, I'm just kidding. But see, we have to make sure that what we do is filled with thanksgiving. And you have to make yourself be thankful. Because sometimes we don't feel thankful. We feel like this is hard. I'm sick of this. I'm going through. Why is this? Why me? Why me? They don't like me. Everybody on the job don't like me. All this kind of stuff. No, just change that. You can change your words. It'll change your attitude. You start speaking something different, it'll change what you're thinking. So an attitude of gratitude. Say an attitude of gratitude. These five things, if applied to this day, will cause this day to be the best day you had in your life. You realize you're not powerless. You realize you need to be thankful. You already got the victory because Jesus has won that victory for you. This is a celebration. You'll realize that God is unfailing. I don't care what you go through. He's not going to fail you. Sickness, disease, poverty, problems, situations, marital problems, situations with your children, drugs, alcohol. I don't care what it is. God will deliver you and set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you are free before you see the freedom. You're free now. So what do I do? Start acting like a free man. Start acting like a free woman. I don't care what your last name is. It may not be Freeman. But act like you're a free man. You're a free woman. And just carry yourself with some freedom swag up in here. Say amen.